Accession number 27496, Mr. John Stickland, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Stickland?
I was born at 687 Harrow Road, Hammersmith, on the 21st of August, 1927.
And can you tell us a bit about your family, you know, your family background, what sort of background they were?
Yeah, Mum and Dad was in the Salvation Army, and I had an older sister then, and she was also in the Salvation Army, and Mum was great. She'd do anything for us, and after I was born, 7 years after I was born, I got a brother, Peter. He was he's still in the Salvation Army, and he runs a local band down at Woking.
Now, what did they do for a living, or did they work for the...
Dad was a glazier. He worked for Luxfors Limited. He used to do all the crittle windows, I think it was, and all that sort of thing. Mum, she done all part-time work. She worked in cafes a lot. She worked in, not actually serving, but washing up and all that sort of thing. And,
Was it a comfortable upbringing, or comfortable enough?
Yeah. It was a good upbringing. Yeah. They looked after us well.
What sort of house were you living in? You were in the Hammersmith area?
Yeah, it was at the Harrow Road. Actually, where we lived on the Harrow Road, it was at the junctions of Hammersmith, Willesden and Kensington. We had a stone in the back garden dividing Kensington from Hammersmith. And we had another one on the wall on the front of the house, doing Willesden and Hammersmith again. It was in a little pocket. To say Hammersmith, it was quite a long way from Hammersmith Broadway and places like that. It was much nearer to Kensal Green. That was our nearest station, Kensal Green Station. Yeah, and we've got the cemetery there, Kensal Green Cemetery. The front of it was all shrubs, bushes, and I mean, really, that was our playground when I was young. And by the side of our houses, there were six houses in the row. Then there was an alleyway down, and then there were six houses at the back of us, which went down onto the railway. And that was also cricket pitch and everything down there, with stumps on the wall, marked on the wall. Yeah, really good, nice. Yeah.
Now, what about your education?
I went to Kemont Garden School, which was a Hammersmith school, because we were designated as Hammersmith, as I said. I started there when I was five, and I stayed there until the war broke out in 1939. I was about 11, and the school was evacuated.
Now, tell us about your education before that. How did you do at school before? We'll come on to when you're evacuated.
Not very. I wasn't a bright pupil. I learnt more when I left school than what I did at school.
Was there any subjects you liked or disliked, or did you just not like any of it?
Didn't really like any of it. No, it was more, let's get out and play, marbles along the curb on the way to school, and cigarette cards flicking up against the wall. If we had them now, it'd be worth a fortune. Yeah.
What about sport? Was that one of your things, or, you know?
I played cricket. Yeah, I played cricket for the school once, and not really a sporty person. I don't like football. I never have liked football, and I don't know. Really, I suppose you could say cricket was the main sport I played.
Now, what about before the war? Were you in any boys' organiser? Were you in the Salvation Army boys' organiser?
I was in the Salvation Army until I was 14. And
do they have a boys' organisation, or is it just
it was the young people's. It was the young people, you know, I can't remember.
And what sort of activities do you get up to with them? What did they organise for you?
I was in the band with them, and the junior band. And now and again, you'd go out on an outing. I mean, from where I was in Harlesden, we'd go to Croydon. But that would be a weekend out. Even, you know, it's just miles away in them days. You know, you didn't have cars and all that running around in. That was a weekend do with a coach.
Now, do you remember when war broke out? I mean, you as you say, you'd be about 11.
Yeah, the day war broke out, I did hear the broadcast. We all sat and listened to it. And it didn't really mean a lot to me, being 11 years old. I didn't understand really then what it was going to be all about. But, it wasn't long after that the school, of course, I've said about being evacuated.
Now, tell us about that. How was the evacuation organised? Did you go with them, or what happened?
No, I didn't go with them.
So what happened? Why didn't you go with them, you know? What happened?
I didn't want to, and I wasn't. My upbringing was that I wasn't made to do anything, you know, that I didn't really want to do. Like when I said I left the Salvation Army at 14, there was no, but you can't, you've got to stay in the Salvation Army. I was allowed to leave. And
so you just didn't fancy leaving your parents?
I just didn't fancy going away from home.
But what about your education? Because I think you were 12 then. But
The education.
Did you go to another school or what?
No. Once the school evacuated, I never went to school again after that. I just roamed the streets and did what I wanted to do. As I say, I learnt more that way, I suppose, really, than I did by going to school. About 11 or 12 when they went and I actually left.
I think it was 12, looking at your age.
Yeah, it would be about 12 when they went. So they didn't go straight away.
Did you get any work, part-time work?
From about the age of 8, I suppose, I was a paper boy. I delivered papers all the week, and on a Sunday morning I went around and collected the money for it all. And one particular paper shop I worked for over the road, it was opposite Arthur Miller's, he used to give me half a crown a week extra to use my bike, because the papers were one in the street, one in another street, one over the road, all over the place, and as wear and tear on the bike, he'd give me half a crown extra. Yeah.
And any other part-time jobs, or was that it?
No, that was all I'd ever did. Just paper boy.
So when did you start proper work?
14.
So that's quite deep into the war. That'd be 1941.
Yes.
Now, what about, can we talk about the effects of the war in Africa? What about air raid precautions? Did you have an air raid shelter?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, they came along and they dug a big hole in the garden and concreted it all round and put an Anderson shelter in there with a corrugated roof and all the earth and everything all piled over the top of it. I don't think I ever went down there about once, I think.
What was it like in there?
Dingy, and felt damp and dingy. But as I say, my sister wouldn't go in there, and I didn't go in there. I think Mum and my younger brother were the only two that went down there, because quite often Dad was away working, being a glazer. And quite often, as I said, at the side of our row of houses there was an alleyway, and there used to be the fella next door, my dad when he was home, and me. We used to stand there and watch the sky. I have seen dogfights up there, and obviously, you know, you had the the guns going. Because at the back of us, as I said, there was the railway, and we were quite close to Willesden Junction Station. So they had a trolley there with a gun on it. You have heard that firing at times.
Now, this is when the air raid started in 1940. Now, how bad was it in your area? Did you get close to scales? What do you remember about it?
It wasn't that bad. We did have one man. We had a landmine about half a mile away, and we had a bomber across the road, but we didn't have too much at all.
So your area was pretty free, overall pretty free of bombing.
Yeah.
Now, when did you start helping with the ARP?
When I was 16.
So again, that's a bit ahead. Yeah. So what about rationing? How did that affect you and your family? Food and clothing rationing.
You didn't get a lot, but then again, offal when it come into the butchers wasn't rationed. You could get some offal, which wasn't very often, but you could get it. And if you knew anybody that had chickens, you could pick up an egg here and there. And but rationing, I think we was healthier then than what we are now with the rationing.
What about clothing rationing? That affect you much or?
No, not really, not too much. Because, clothes don't wear out that often. I think my sister had some of my clothes coupons for herself.
Now, the next thing that happens is when you're 14, not much bombing in the area, so the next thing, big things, you getting a job. Now, what was your first job when you were 14?
My first job was Leighton and Straker's Bookbinding Company Limited.
And what were you training?
I was an apprentice bookbinder.
Now tell us a bit about that. What was the work like in those days?
Mainly in the factory itself, it was machine work. Everything, most of it was all done by machine. But once a week I had to go to Stamford Street in London, to the London School of Printing, and there you learnt a bit more of the handwork of bookbinding. But went through all the machinery, and I stayed there until I joined up.
Did you enjoy it as an apprentice bookbinder?
Yeah, because there was about a dozen apprentices there, who was all around the same age. Great, yeah.
Now, what's the next thing you remember? I mean, is the next thing when you became ARP when you were 16, or sort of jumping a couple? Anything happened when you were 14 to 16, or?
Not really. No.
Just life.
Just life, isn't it? Yeah.
But no, the bombing didn't get worse or better than that.
No.
Now, what about this at ARP? Tell us about, you volunteered, I presume, did you?
Yeah.
Now, what did you volunteer? Tell us about it. What did you volunteer as?
I joined the ARP as a messenger boy. There was a warden station just along the road from me, and I was friendly with the warden there, and he suggested that it might be an idea. So I used to like cycling as well, so I went there as a messenger boy, simply really to. The theory of it was that anything happened, I would turn up on my bike. If they needed anything, they'd send me off wherever to do their bidding. If they were actually, that landmine I said that fell about half a mile away, I went down there, there was nothing doing on the bike, so they give me a shovel, and I was helping them dig. But mainly it was running around on a bike to different, you knew all the posts in the area, and if anything come up at one post, you went over there.
And anything you particularly remember from your duties with them?
Not really, no. I suppose really the main thing I remember was doing a little bit of digging around at Mortimer Road when the landmines.
What do you remember about that? I mean, did you find, or did you get anybody out? Or
no, I didn't find anybody, but there were people dug out. I did see some, but I mean, I didn't do any of it. No.
Were they dead, the ones that, or did they get some out alive?
No, they were getting them out alive, yeah.
Anything else happen in that time?
Not really.
What would you do for entertainment? Again, you know, you're pushing 16, 17, 18. What was the way you entertained yourself in them days?
Well, it was pictures. Within a 3-halfpenny bus ride of my house, I had 8 or 9 cinemas. Most of them change their programs midweek, so you could go pictures every day of the week and see a different film. But I mean, we used to go to the cinema, and we used to get the bus up to Cricklewood. That was the Cricklewood Palladium. You had skating up there, roller skating on a Sunday afternoon, and dancing Sunday evening. Yeah.
Would you go dancing a lot to dance halls, or were you a bit young?
No, I was a bit young, really. No, I didn't do a lot of dancing.
And you didn't drink? I mean, I know you were illegal, but some
not
people...
Not illegal. You'd have a drink now and again, but not a lot.
Now, why did you left the Salvation Army? I mean, was there anything in particular, or was it just you deciding it wasn't for you?
I just decided it wasn't for me. I'd started to smoke. I was having a drink. Yeah, I started to smoke. I was having a drink, and it just wasn't right.
Now, would the next thing be your call-up then? How was that, mate? What happened about your call-up? How was it sorted? You know, or did you volunteer?
No, I just got a letter come through the post to report to one of the stations. I can't remember which one it was. But I got there and...
Did you know what service you were joining? I mean,
no.
So it could have been the army or...
Actually, going back during around about the 16, 17 mark, I was in the army cadets. I joined the army cadets.
Well, let's talk about that then. What did you do with them? Well, which army cadets?
The ordinary...
The local ones?
Local army cadets, yeah.
What sort of training did you get with them?
To us, yeah. Oh, we used to have a wooden gun, and we used to do the training and the running. Yeah. Probably similar to what they done in the army for training. Yeah.
Did you do any actual shooting or weapons training?
No. The only weapon training you done was with the wooden gun.
Now, let's get back to call-up. So, when you were called up, were you expecting to be called up to the army then?
Well, they asked me what service I would like to be in. I said, the army. So they said, right, you're in the Navy.
It wasn't your choice at all?
No, you didn't get a choice.
And what month were you called up? Do you remember what it was? Was it 44 or 45?
Been 45.
What month?
July. Yeah, the end of July. After
the end of the war in Europe?
Mm. Yeah.
What about VE Day? Do you remember anything about that?
No, I never went up London or anything like that.
VE Day at all? No. Right. So when you were called up, you were called up July 1945, where were you sent to go to?
I was sent to HMS Royal Arthur up at Skegness. I'd done a fortnight up there.
That's your shore station, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what was your sort of reception like when you turned up there? You know, you arrive in as a civilian, basically.
You arrive in there. You get medical. I think, we got the medical.
How strict was that?
Fairly strict. Fairly. Yeah. And
what about kitting out?
Kitted out with uniforms.
What you,
and
you
I was
what, you
designated as a steward.
Do you remember what uniform you got?
Yeah, I got the jacket and shirt and tie.
Now, why were you designated as a steward? Was that as soon as you arrived, were you selected for that?
Yeah, I was told I was going to be a steward. Yeah, officer steward, OS.
So, and that was right from the start, you were going to be trained?
Yeah.
Now, how did they start your training in HMS Royal Arthur? What sort of training did you do?
Actually, they didn't do any training there. They just kitted us out and we stayed up there. But the training was done at HMS Glendower.
So you were only at Royal Arthur for a couple of weeks. And so would it still be July when you went up to the next place?
Yeah, just about Glendower, yeah.
Now, HMS Glendower, that's at Pethely, is it?
That's Pethely, Butlin's other bloody camp.
Now, what happened when you got there?
Well, that's where we started our training.
So how did this start?
You was taught how to serve, how to wait at table.
Now tell me a bit about it. How do you serve then?
You serve food from the left, drinks from the right, and you had to hold your plate with a spoon and fork for the silver service.
Did you find it easy or difficult?
Difficult to start with.
Yeah. In what way? What was hard about it? Was it just remembering it all?
Remembering all about it. They try to poke so much down you. They tell you how to get stains out of uniforms and all different stains and what to use, you know. But luckily, we had a booklet as well.
What else were you learning there?
Drinks. How to serve the port after the meal, pass the port. Because it was all officers we was waiting on all the time.
Do you do any seamanship training at all?
No.
So it was just training as a steward?
Just training as a steward, yeah.
And is there anything else to it, or was it just those that, you know, I mean, that's quite a lot. So there's serving at meals, looking after their clerk uniform and stuff.
That was the training.
Drinks. Yeah. Anything else?
That was the training, more or less.
And how long did it take?
That was 3 months we was there.
So that would be to October.
Mm.
Now, do you remember the end of the war? I mean, the Japanese war, the Far East. Did that cause any impact?
No, I was actually in Glendower then.
But nothing particular happened?
No, nothing particular happened.
Were you hopeful of getting home or being demobilised, or did you know you were in for 2 years?
I was in for 2 years, yeah. Two years.
Come
National
on, mate.
Service, yeah.
So what happened after Pethely, in October 43?
After that, I went to me Chatham, which was me base port.
Your home port?
Yep.
What was it like there?
Big. But I was put down into the wardroom warrant officer's mess. There you looked after their rooms mainly. There wasn't food down there. They went up to the main mess for their food. But we looked after their rooms, made their beds, cleaned their shoes, press their uniforms if they wanted it. All the more or less butlering down
there.
Did
you mind doing that kind of work? Would you rather?
No, it's all right. There was.
How did they treat you?
All right, very good. Yeah. There were six of us stewards down there looking after them. Yeah, no, they were a good crowd. Yeah.
Anything happened there while you were at Chatham?
Not really. I went from. I don't know the years, but I went from Chatham to HMS Laughing Water. That was at Raynham in Essex.
What's that? I've never heard of that one. Laughing Water.
Yeah.
That's a shore station, is it?
Yeah, I won't tell you what everybody else called it.
No, you can. Yeah. What did they call it?
No, that was HMS Laughing Water. And
How long had you been at Chatham? When was that?
I don't really know.
You don't really know. It's still in 1945, though.
45, 46.
And what were you doing at HMS Laughing Water?
Well, that was just more or less an overflow. I was over there with the officers' mess in there. And actually, I got called back from there for my draft.
And what was your draft then?
That was to HMS Perim over in Londonderry.
That's Perim,
P-E-R-I-M.
Just one R?
Yeah. Actually, it was an Ireland class frigate. It was one of the many that were sent over on the lease lend deal, and they'd been parked up in Londonderry, and they were never used.
Now, what was this ship like? Can you describe what was it like for you? I mean, you'd not been on a ship before, had you? What was it like as a ship?
Oh yeah, because we were going back to broke up. It was only a steaming crew that was going. There was only 70 ratings and 5 officers. And, I mean, you got all the American luxuries on it. You had...
So what type of things? Tell us what it was like.
You had water fountains, cold water fountains there for drink and that. You had bunks in there instead of slinging a hammock.
What did you think of these US fittings? I mean, were they good, or was that better than you?
Well, it was better than slinging a hammock. Because in Chatham, you used your hammock.
So you were part of the steaming crew?
Yeah.
Now tell us, what was the trip like? You went because you were taking her out to America, weren't you?
Yeah.
Or taking her back?
What was
that trip like?
Well, to start off, like, I went from Chatham up to London, up to Stranraer in Scotland, across to Larne in Ireland, and then on to Londonderry. And then when we weighed anchor, we went from there, we went down to I think it was Plymouth we went to, first of all. We anchored outside there. Because you've got to remember that the ships had never been used, and I don't think they trusted them to go too far without being close to somewhere. Because we went from there, we went over to the Canary Islands, went to the Gran Canaria, pulled in at Hamilton. We stayed there for a few days.
Now, what were you doing on board the ship? What were your duties?
Waiting on the officers, all 5 of them.
So there weren't many of them, and was it just you? Or
just me, yeah.
So what would you do for them? What was your typical day's duties like?
Well, you get up in the morning, make the tea, give them their tea. The chef would fetch up the breakfast, and I'd serve that to them. And we didn't have to do any cooking. We had the chef. You had a chef for that. And I just waited on them.
And would you do their cabins as well? Or
clean their cabins, make their beds, look after them.
And how did they treat you? Did they treat you as well as the warrant officers had?
Yeah, they were very good. I can only remember the captain's name. That was Lieutenant Commander Smith. I can't remember the other's names.